You'll find information on how to support us at the end of this podcast. Now, the next phase in your spiritual warfare, bringing everything into the line, into alignment with the kingdom of God and the principles of salvation. You can't have half a church believing in one thing and then the other thing. You can have them out the ditch and they're all happy, but you've got to have all biblical theology, or else you'll still have a house divided amongst itself with theology. So you need to go back, and you know what I try to do is I get everybody, once you are all cleaned up and once you've got the pastor organized and he's on your side, and then you start moving through the church and praying over people and start instigating things, bringing things into their proper alignment according to the kingdom of God, then that's going to hurt a lot of people. But that's the way, I'm sorry, that's the way it's going to be. They're going to be people who are in your church and they're only there for social reasons. They're not interested in God. They're not interested in anything like that. They just want to be social. There are people who just want a little bit of God and they don't want any more. Well, you know, how far is a little bit of God? You know, there is a standard. You know, I like to get everybody baptized by full immersion and everybody filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Then you've got a church that's unified through the Spirit. Now you've got a church that is all changed. They're all a new creation through baptism and they're being led by the Holy Spirit. So you need to figure out in what section of the transformation of the church you need to do that. But a house divided amongst itself won't stand, except two agree they won't walk together. So you need to understand these principles. If you try and put them too early in place, you'll end up with civil war. If you need to get as many people plugged into the kingdom of God as possible, and you will have people who won't want to be, they'll leave. And you're going to have to be prepared. Do you want a church that's apostate? Do you want a church that's only half functioning? Or do you want a pure, holy place where people can come in, where there's one baptism, one doctrine, one truth, one way? Jesus only is one way. And then everything will flow. If you try to cut corners, if you try to have a church where you have many doctrines, you're going to have trouble. Now, there are damnable heresies and there are heresies. Look, there are some things that are wrong, scripturally wrong, but they don't take away a man from God. They don't destroy a man's salvation. They're heresies. They're not good. God doesn't like heresies, right? He wants us to be in unity completely together. If you read in Ephesians, if you read anywhere in the Bible, Paul wants people to be in unity through the Spirit. But there are also damnable heresies, which when you preach those things, then you're preaching something that's going to cause you, when you stand before God, he's going to say, you're out of here, mate, because you preach damnable heresies. You preach things that are destroying man's salvation. You don't want to be involved in that. They're heresies and damnable heresies. Heresies are not good, but damnable heresies are absolutely terrible. So you have to figure out what you're going to do. And wisdom says, go with the complete word of God and not the things that you just think you like or other people are going to be happy with. You need to be willing to go all the way. You know, in the Old Testament, we have Nehemiah who goes back to Jerusalem and tries to establish the temple and all the functionality of the Jewish people in Israel. And he had a lot to deal with. They had to sit down and work out who was who in the zoo and how they actually do things. You know, he got all of the priests that married women in Babylon who had children. He said to them, you can't be in the priesthood. You Levites can't operate in the temple because you've got wives. You can either send them back to Babylon, or if you keep them, you can't operate. Now, there's a law in the Old Testament that somebody who comes into the body of Israel, who becomes an Israelite, they're a proselyte Jew, they're not allowed to, if they marry into the Levite nation, they're not allowed to minister into the temple for 11 generations. That's to let the blood flood through and transform all of those genetic traits that are not part of God. So 11 generations have to grow through before that generation can be part of the Levites that serve in the temple. God doesn't want mixture, and he doesn't want mixture in his gospel message. He doesn't want mixture in his church. Matter of fact, you'll be the most powerfulest church that can stand if you stand on his word completely. If you're like the church of Philadelphia in Revelations, you might have a little strength, but God will roll out the red carpet for you. If you're the church of Laodicea, which is lukewarm, or if you're the church of Ephesus, where you need to go and buy gold and eye salve for your eyes, you need to get spiritual understanding because you're blind and you think you're wise and you know it all, you need to humble yourself before God and go back and learn the first principles. And you'll find them in Acts, how they started the church. You'll find them how they actually operated. And then you'll find them in the New Testament, all of the books wrapped around the functionality of Acts. You'll find it in the Gospels. Okay? You won't find it in other men's books on how to do things. You'll find it in the Word of God. You need to bring everything back like Nehemiah did, back to square one. You need to bring everything back to biblical principles. And then you won't have a church that's divided biblically. That will not stand. That's another pillar that you need to function in. Because if you don't have that pillar operating, you'll be in big trouble. You need to go back to the book of Acts and say, how did the first church establish? How was it established? Well, Jesus said, go and wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he'll guide you and lead you into all truth. He'll give you power to be witnesses. And they waited in Jerusalem, and the day of Pentecost came, and suddenly a great mighty wind went through the place, and they started speaking in tongues. Then all the Jews around said, what is this? And Peter stood up and said, this is what was prophesied by Joel. And they saw that, they understood, and they said to Peter, what do we do? And he said, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and the promises unto you and your children, as many as the Lord God shall call. That's the first altar call. Now, it hasn't changed. Only man has changed it, where he says, everybody close your eyes, and I want the people who are not in Jesus, lift their hand up, and I want to say a prayer. And they say, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I want to be part of you. I give my life to you. I want to be born again, or whatever else they say. And then I open their eyes up and they say, you're now in the body of Christ. That's rubbish. That's not going to work. That's just fake it till you make it. Maybe those people will get baptized. Maybe they will get filled with the Holy Spirit in months and months' time. But you know, that's short-changing people. And they may go through their whole life thinking, I'm saved, I don't need to be baptized, and I don't need to be spirit-filled. That church is doomed to go back to square one, where you're all different, where you are ineffective in the community, and you've only got a bunch of people in there that are trying to walk in the light. Just like in the Bible, in Revelations, he said there's a few in Sardis that have not spotted their garments. You know what? The bottom line is, if you love Jesus, you'll keep his word, you'll honor his word, because Jesus is the word. Could you imagine standing before Jesus and saying, I only like part of your word? It's like saying, I only like part of you. Could you imagine standing before Jesus and saying, I like some of your word, and I definitely didn't want what your Holy Spirit sent me. I didn't want to speak in tongues. It just doesn't work. Do you think God's going to be happy with a person like that? Do you reckon he's going to say, enter into the kingdom of God, where I'm going to have to spend eternity with you? You don't even like part of the Holy Spirit. You don't even like him. And you don't like half of what Jesus is. Who he is, he's the word. So you honor the word, you honor Jesus. You honor Jesus, you honor the word. They both are the same. You can't pick and choose. So you need to figure out that part. Me, I get people out the ditch, I get them praying, and then I go to the other ones who are not baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, and I say, if you want to be a part of this movement, you need to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And with the pastor's help and those out the ditch and are walking in the power of God, we've got a bit of a show. We've got something that we can do, something we can work with. We need to get things in the right alignment. Okay? Now, you can go all gung-ho and say, right, everybody, we need to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit before anybody's out the ditch. You'll have trouble. You need to establish a beachhead. You need to, as an army, you need to establish a place where you can fortify and warfare from, and that you can have supply, because if you get the enemy cutting off your supply, you're in trouble. So you need to have a strong and mighty tower established, supplied by the heaven, and then you can warfare against all unrighteousness and all those exalt themselves above the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is a good strategy. That's the way it works. That's the only way it works. You know, unless you be like Nehemiah and are ready to establish proper protocols and righteousness, you're doomed to fail up the road. And you can be unwise and think you'll go for the short-term fix, right, and please everybody. But you're only pleasing people who's being motivated by the enemy, by darkness, and a pride. They have pride and they are rebellious. And those attributes are all from the darkness, all from the kingdom of darkness. You don't want any of that in your church. You want them to be full of the Holy Spirit, to be functional and to have the Holy Spirit envelop them in glory. And that when they worship, you're not worshiping with devils, you're worshiping with sons of God. You know, I'm very careful when I worship with people. I don't worship with devils. I don't worship with people who are motivated by darkness. Even in their worship, when they want to do stupid stuff. I've been around people where they're flying around the room with their arms flapping around thinking, this is God. This is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I said, that's rubbish, mate. I know, I've seen one girl, she started pulling out all of these handkerchiefs and flipping them around everywhere, doing like some sort of Middle Eastern veil dance. And I said to the Lord, what's going on here? He said, she's full of demons. And he said to me, I want you to leave. I said, okay, I left. Because God doesn't want me worshipping with devils. He wants me worshipping with the body of Christ, with the sons of the living God, with those who are redeemed, with those who are being washed in the blood of the Lamb, which are those who are in love with Jesus and are willing to lay their life down for the truth and are not willing to have a wishy-washy, half-baked, apostate church. So we'll just leave it there. So if you'd like to help us out financially, then you go to the bottom of the page and click on support, and all the information will be there.